Welcome to another episode of The Gateway. My name is Russ, and as always, I am joined by my co-hosts Amin and Biagio. For this episode, The Gateway is excited to welcome Thomas Smith, currently a coach in Dallas, Texas, with 7+ years experience building people up across sport, technology, and art. He began his journey exploring what's possible by collaborating with researchers in NLP topic models, then entrepreneurs with physical products, and finally global data decision platforms with software engineers across North America, Europe, and Asia. Now he is back in sports, helping athletes take their next step in the sport with an emphasis on simplicity, gratitude, and techniques in training. Thomas, welcome to the Gateway. It is a pleasure to have you today.
Honored to be here with both of you guys.
Thank you. So, as all of these episodes, I like to start with the very first question, and it begins at the beginning. How did you get to where you are today?
Yeah, so looking back, there's a couple of people that I ran into that I met just doing the ordinary things. So my story is that I was an athlete for over a decade. And I was traveling in the U.S. I was traveling to different countries as well. And there came a point where I realized that I was going to need to try and explore some other interests, because professional athletics was not the long-term direction that I wanted to go in. But I was able to go to places. And so I spent the next 7 years meeting people, hearing founder stories, meeting about how people were trying to create new things and help other people go from how am I going to do something to when can I build it? And that process of simplifying things down launched me into an amazing journey.
I always love how life kind of does that to people. You know, you have a path, you have a plan, and then all of a sudden things kind of keep moving their own ways onto different journeys. So I think I want to start with kind of a very broad question. Have you been traveling recently? Have you been doing anything? Have you used TripAdvisor? I'm trying to set you up here, Thomas, is really what I'm trying to do here.
Yeah. So this past summer was a great summer. Maybe some of you got to watch the Olympics. Paris did a great job. France did a great job. It was awesome to be on the ground around the city, seeing how they weave together sports, community, parks, outdoor recreation, and then also as well, technology. So there were a couple of exhibits that they did. There was a couple of things they did with the arts that tied things together. And so I'm excited because not only seeing the 2024 Olympics, but knowing that in 2028, it's going to be in Los Angeles. And that's where I'm originally from. I'm originally from Los Angeles County.
That is absolutely amazing. Isn't it nice when life lines up really well too? You're like, okay, for something that's 4 years, every 8 years, you know, you got to plan out. It lines up really well for you. So this is absolutely incredible. And I want to talk about how you transition from what I would identify as an absolutely amazing career within athletics, and then that shift to something that might be different than, I guess I'm going to say, like 12-year-old you would have envisioned, right? Like, I'm not trying to be negative or rude within that one, but I think it probably is a little bit different. So what was that process like for you, especially because a lot of our listeners are pursuing very similar things and they're in college at the time when many of them will have to kind of face that, like, all right, maybe I can still pursue this, but that professional track might not be something that's as sustainable as was originally hoped. So that's kind of what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, absolutely. In the early phases, the advantage that students and early professionals have is time. They have so much time. Time to be able to try, time to be able to ask questions, time to be able to go down a path, see it not work, and then try another. Learn something about themselves that they liked or disliked, and then try again and again and again. And I was no different. For me, I was familiar with the importance of the connection between protege and mentor, of apprenticeship, and of helping somebody else's vision become real and going on board with that. And so in the beginning phases, I looked around, and an interest I had apart from sports was technology. And I knocked on a few doors, and one of the first people that I actually came across, cross paths with, was a group of amazing, rowdy, smart Italians that were all grouped up together in one room in an office, and they were proposing new ideas. They were trying to push the boundaries of what was possible with technology, and ultimately their questions impressed me more than their answers. And so I found that research component interesting, and so I kept coming back and coming back and coming back. And they were gracious enough, patient enough to allow me access to see what they were up to, what they were creating, the questions they were asking, and then zooming out and saying, this is what's happening, not just in one research lab, but it's also a global trend that's a wave that's coming. So let's dive in and see what we could do with some topic modeling.
I can jump in for a second just because I was part of the group and I've been knowing Thomas for a while. I say, like he mentioned earlier, he say he was not different than many students. I think he was very different for many students. It was an undergraduate student, a student athlete. So you can only imagine a swimmer, right? Pretty good swimmer at LSU. And the student athlete life is not regular to many other students. And they have a lot of schedule, like a very tough schedules. And I think what impressed us about Thomas was his willingness to learn, willingness to try, like exactly what he was saying. He was putting in practice, but he was putting in practice as an undergrad. And this is actually what we were targeting. We wanted to expose undergrads to research. So it was kind of like a match made in heaven, something like that. But again, it is not very easy. It's not always successful because research is sometimes academic research is not super accessible. Although we were doing very applied stuff, right? It can be intimidating, and people like start looking at what we are doing and say like, "Nah, that's not for me. I don't like it." But although probably some of those meetings at the beginning were feeling that way, like Thomas, then he kept pushing and start seeing the value in what we were doing and putting more effort, right? Which again, I was always impressed of how he was managing to find the time. Because one thing Thomas is not saying is that at the time, he was also founding companies left and right and doing, initiatives that can benefit the people that are in disadvantage compared to other people. So I don't know if you want to talk about those stories and you want to talk about those companies, but definitely that's not the regular path. And definitely, I think there is a message here where if you are resilient, when you are willing to make mistakes when you are in school, right, which is the time to make those mistakes, which is the time to learn, then it can be a rewarding experience. Then you can really go beyond your comfort zone and have an impact, which can go, you know, in the research direction, or it can go in the company direction. It doesn't really matter. But you made your time in college worth, and you make it worth more than the piece of paper that many people are getting out of it. And that was the main reason for me to say, I want you on the show, because you are the best person to kind of exemplify that and just be a testimony for all the others that sometimes are shy to even come to my office and say, hey, what are you working on? I would like to collab on this. This is pretty cool. My door is always open. People know, but sometimes it's just that step in say, like, let me try. What is the worst thing that can happen? I don't like it. I go in another direction, right? Or professor is not, I don't know, fun enough to hang out with. I go in another direction. It's okay. I mean, it's not everybody has the same path, and how we get to where we are today is so different, right? So yeah, I don't know if you want to talk about any of the stuff I touch upon, but I think I want to mention that.
I have a question here. Yeah. So you mentioned student athlete, a room full of Italians, a very interesting dynamic here. I'm very curious. Could you give us some examples of the ideas that you were exchanging and like things that like the most attractive discussions that you remember, things that inspired you the most?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the kind of the underlying first principle that was, I can now look back and say was driving that was, how can I succeed at giving?
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning stages, I think a lot of students, a lot of early career professionals, they think that success is more about position, or they think success is primarily about the finance piece. And then when they get to those things, there is still maybe a lack, or they're still looking for, okay, what is fulfilling work? And the fulfilling work is most found if they're in alignment with what their aptitude is, and they try and they put in the work, and they understand which vehicles help grow. So some vehicles for their creativity, for their research, for their startup idea may not be what is best for the second person who is also in the room with them. It may not be what's best for the, you know, the 29 other students in the classroom. And so through experience, a student, early career professional, they can begin to try and serve others, many others, in different ways, mostly through helping that leader's vision, helping their project, helping their program, helping their organization. And then as they go, after each experience, go, what went well, what didn't go well, what do I admire, or what did I learn from this organization, from this leader, from this person who was that mentor within the mentor protege frame. And then ask themselves, what was the superpower that I seemed to notice or experience as I was doing that work? Athletes learn this over years to where they know what their aptitude and their strengths are. And they also know and have to be honest with, this other area is not my strength. And so therefore, in the future, if I do more work, I would need to now think about who is a collaborator, who is a co-founder, who is a potential hire within the organization, who might be a complementary athlete on the field, in the pool, on the court, who is really good functionally at a specific area that I'm not, and therefore, because they are, the whole team rises. The whole organization is gonna improve because they're valued for their focus area.
So Thomas, I want to jump in here because I think a lot of times with athletes, it comes from that competitive mindset. There's a winner and a loser. That's what sport is. We know that. But a lot of what you're talking about is the caring, the giving, the collaborating. A lot of the elements that I don't think a lot of people associate with athletics, those skills, including the competitive side of things, do you think help our students and young professionals move forward? Or is there something that you maybe had to go through a shift to kind of say, okay, that doesn't work now that I'm in corporate or I'm in, you know, academia, whatever role or industry you're in?
Yeah, so there are in sports, there are many lanes. And even now, as I say that, it even translates over of if you think of a track, 400 meters around, and there's, I believe, 8 athletes that will compete at the same time. But within the sport of track, there are athletes who are there primarily for participation, enjoyment. Their focus is more on learning how to be on a team. They might be looking for certain health benefits that the sport allows them to be able to have. Maybe they have never competed before, and so for them, the sport allows them to be able to grow, develop, learn more about what they have an aptitude in, and then be able to take the incremental steps forward. So that's one lane of the sport. And then a second lane might be somebody who, when they think about track, they're thinking about how can I, you know, for them, maybe the dream is to travel. So they want to be able to travel to different parts of the country or different parts of the world, but have somebody else sponsor them as they compete. And so there's a expectation around goals, performance, lifestyle to be able to accomplish that goal. Maybe they even might need to move locations to be able to train with people that are already at that caliber of running to catch what can only be caught when they're in those training sessions with those athletes. Two completely different tracks of the sport, both honorable, both possible, but both demand a different, or even match a different type of athlete. And both require a different level of risk. And so for athletes that maybe come from a background where they're in that latter category, and they transition into a category where it's more about connection, community, it's more about general enjoyment of a sport, there are certain adjustments that will be needed as they go about the sport. And so for early career professionals, it's very similar, where it's a time for them to be able to try different forms of work and see, is this a match? Am I in alignment with what I sense like my goals are, or is there a misalignment? And if so, what adjustments can I make? Because it's okay to not train 80 hours a week. It's okay to not train or think, unless I go to the Olympics, I've failed. It is okay and healthy and normal for somebody to say, success for me means, you know, and they define their outcome that they're looking for. And I think for athletes who are in college or just early professionals, it's the same. They're learning to see, they're trying different projects, they're collaborating with different people who are farther along in their development journey, and they get to be able to say, you know, this is a good, there's good alignment here, or there's not, and then be able to move, you know, connect and learn from there.
I think that's a really cool way to kind of see the pursuit of athletic improvement, perfection, that ever growing and continual pursuit in a way that it is more of a lifelong passion as well, and how some of those things move forward. I know for at least some of my students that are really pushing for that professional endeavor, it can be a very difficult transition when maybe you've exhausted all of those things and that paycheck might not be there. Or even for some of our students that make it to the highest level, it's 3, 4, 5 years. And even Tom Brady, who was one of the longest tenured professional athletes, I don't even know if he's 50 yet. And like, he's got a long life to live and he needs to be doing something else. So the sad part about it is a lot of times you're gonna transition. And I like the way you're positioning it to really open up opportunities in the rest of life to still use those things and still be able to pursue it. I think a lot of people can embrace that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, in sharing that, a really practical step that a student can take is whatever town or city that they're in, go to 10 surrounding businesses that are within a mile of the campus. Go to 10 different types of businesses, go and meet whoever the owner, manager, shift supervisor is, introduce yourself, shake their hand and say, hey, I've never heard of your business, but I'm a student on campus, or I'm a grad student, MBA, doing a PhD in data science, whatever it may be, technology. And I would just like to be able to hear more about your organization and what it's like and the things that you think about in your world. And while the first couple of conversations may seem super disconnected to their linear path of getting skills later, my intuition leads me to believe that they'll be able to think about what types of work, what types of teams do they like to be able to build and contribute to.
Yeah, I'm just continually thinking about, I think sport fits really well within the metaphor of life. And I jokingly reflect back on Ted Lasso, football is life. There's so many lessons within that. And people that might not have experienced it don't always get to see how it translates into those other things, into other teams, into other pursuits, academic, professional, whatever it is. I think it's really inspiring to kind of have these opportunities to connect for other people. And really, when we take a step back from it, the way I look at it is it's passion. It's whether, again, it's a sport, whether it's theater, whether it's music, you see people that are saying, I'm going to dedicate time to it because I love listening to music. I have picked up a guitar once. That is hard. Like, that is really hard to do. And when you see people that are very good at that, when you see people that can do a high jump, when you can see people that run these times on the track, you're like, they don't even look like they're trying. And you're like, oh, they're tired at the end of a mile. And I'm like, yes, because they just ran it the fastest in human history. Like, it's that pursuit of passion, which I think unlocking that is really where, Thomas, you come in as being someone that can translate that across all different ones. Was there ever a time where you were working with someone and they might have had that passion, but they couldn't access it, they couldn't find it, it was a new area, there were just some blocks or obstacles, and maybe kind of how you helped get them over that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, part of being a in the sports world, part of being a coach is just training people in general in swimming is hearing what they're saying, but then understanding what they're communicating.
Wow.
So somebody, they might think that the hurdle for them, you know, is related to one part of their technique, but it's actually something else. One thing that athletes go through, that's a difficult experience, but they learn a lot, is injury. Oftentimes when athletes have an injury, it's preceded by recurring actions that they might not have even known was causing, you know, their shoulder to later have an issue, their knee to have an issue. There are some cases where it's an impact and then the injury occurs, but more common for athletes, it's something related to the approach they're taking, the technique that they have, that after 1,000 reps, now, you know, they have a shoulder pain, they have knee pain, they have something going on in their hip, something in their neck. And so as a coach, they might have a goal, but if the technique, if the mindset, you could translate it over to mindset, that if the mindset that they have is can be improved to help them be able to get there, then that's what I want to be able to help them focus in on, rather than just performing and working harder. So one of the things that I share to swimmers is that a happy swimmer is a fast swimmer. But a fast swimmer doesn't necessarily mean that they're happy. And so as a coach, I'm thinking, okay, if the enjoyment of the sport is low, then the capacity for growth is also small. Same thing, I saw it in software engineering and with startups, which is if the engineer is thinking I have to do this, or it's most of their work is out of obligation rather than that passion, they'll likely run out of gas. And so we could probably go off. I mean, that could be a whole thing, but Biagio, would you say that you experienced this, a form of this, or noticed this in peers or others? What was your experience like that in your space?
100%. I'm laughing when you're talking, because that's exactly what I tell my student. Like, I'm teaching coding and data analytics, and of course I have to cover some materials and use some specific data set to explain those concepts. And some of them will love those data sets, some of them will not resonate with those data sets. But the first thing I tell them is go online, pick a data set of something that you like. Like, what is your passion? Sports, fashion, whatever it is, pick a data set that reflects it, and then try to apply those skills on this other data set that you're really passionate about. And I think if you do something that you like on a topic that you like, you're going to put your 100%. And it happened to me when I was in the classroom. In Italy, it's a little bit different of a system, so I shouldn't speak too much. But the last exam I passed for my master was the exam I liked the least. And not because I'm not smart enough to go over that exam, but it's just because every time I was opening that book or spending time on that topic, Yeah, the passion wasn't there. The curiosity wasn't there. It was just not for me. But I had to do it because it was kind of an MBA, so I had to do it. But yeah, 100%. If you do something that you like, you're going to put your 150%. If you hate your job, you're not happy about it, the first obstacle is going to be an excuse. Instead, if you really like something, you're going to find a way to go over the obstacles every day of your life. And you're going to do it happy. I do a lot of things, thank God, in my current job that I really like and I'm passionate about. And I go beyond what many people think I should be doing. But I go beyond yeah. happy to go beyond just because I think I can make an impact on other people. Yeah. And I think I can make an impact on my life as well, because they're going to go together. I truly believe that you share a lot of things that a lot of people are underestimating, which is giving to others makes a big difference more than making a lot of money and being miserable every day of your life, right? And the other message that I really like, the way you share it, and that was the philosophy of that group, right? That Italian group that you're talking about. And by the way, I should mention Gabe Piccoli, which is the mentor I've been having for many years, mm-hmm. and his lab was amazing because of that, is everybody that joins a team has yeah. some strength that not everybody has, right? Yeah. So if you play the strength, then the whole team performs better. Right, there's gonna be people that are really good in coding and just coding, but they are not capable of communicating those results. Right, not everybody is born with the same skills. You can get better, but if you play the team strength, you can achieve more. You can achieve more in more efficiently, more effectively. And I think when you see those results and when those results impact people, then you have a different drive. But it all comes with you, what you said at the beginning. If you don't try, if you don't knock at a door and they shut the door in your face and then you go to the next door, even with the business example, right? I don't think anybody does that. I think, again, you consider yourself a standard student. I don't think people do that. But the curiosity that you have, the willingness to get those doors in your face, to push yourself to different comfort zones, I think that's a outstanding message for our student. I again, especially in a job market where it becomes challenging, right? It is challenging for many of them. Having that drive, having that passion, having that curiosity, and the willingness to, of course, put the work, because you were putting the work. You were doing a project where we're doing stuff at a PhD level and you were an undergrad, right? So it's not the common stuff for many undergrads. I think that will translate well. And it's a lot of hard work, but it's a happy work, right? So you're doing, you're happy, you have a smile in your face, and you're going to continue to do it. If you hate it, it can be dumb work or anything it is related to that, you're not going to be happy in your life. And we only live one life, right? So
exactly. I agree with both of those messages that both of you echoed. And I also want to latch on to last thing you said, and that is trying new things, convincing students to try new things. Earlier, Thomas, in this episode, you mentioned that students need to understand that this is when they have time and they have energy and they can afford to make mistakes, and they should go out and try new things. As simple as going and meeting a business leader, local business leader, and shaking their hand and introducing themselves. But most students don't do that. In my experience, students are convinced, like completely convinced, that they will have more time after they graduate. And I keep trying to tell them all the time that you actually will have less time after you graduate. You will have more burdens after you graduate. So how do you convince a student? What do you tell them to actually say that this is time is now? Go try, and it's fine if you make a mistake. You are 20. You can make it up.
Yeah. I wanted to first mention that Biagio, he's like a professional athlete in data science.
Yes.
I hope
and,
so.
You know, it's like...
I'm training.
Yeah. So... Yeah, and in the training models, you know,
yeah,
the learning, yes, the absolute. The machine learning models and all of those in that space. So, So for students in early career, it for them, what my experience has been is it comes back to that mentor protege, and being able to focus less on program and more on listening. And so from a organization standpoint, there is a difference between, let's say, program curriculum, where it's standardized, versus a committee, which is people that might be in the nearby community to whom the students can hear stories that are happening near to them. So it is backwards in that people, they arrive to a learning environment. It could be their direct university, or it could be, if they are looking to do a graduate school, it can be that as well. But the ability to be on a track, to have a foundation, as well as then have experiences where people who are outside of the learning, and they're able to then speak to those students, is a really good balance, because they'll start to have experiences that some of it will actually break some of their thinking. It will actually break some of the patterns that they or they what they thought would work. It will actually break that, and that is okay. It's okay for them. For example, they might learn about financial models, or they might learn about software development. But if they're able to then see somebody provide them on a live experience that's on a campus, be able to see, hey, they could actually use a no code app maker, a no code app development platform, to be able to build an idea, that they won't need to be a professional coder, even though they're still going to be learning good foundational skills in C Sharp, Node.js, Python, whatever it may be. They're able to see, okay, here's the application of the skill set that they are still learning within school.
What drove you to try new things? Sorry, staying on that topic.
Yeah, so for me, I had a teammate on the swim team. His name was Silas DeJean, and he was working a job at LSU, and so both we were teammates. And he gave me a call one day, and he said, "Hey, there is a food innovation lab on campus. You should check it out." And so I went. I went one day. I walked in, and standing in the office that they had there, there was three or four people. One was a food scientist, one was a entrepreneur, and the other two were students that were working there, either as researchers or just basically being an apprentice to the leaders that were there. And so I went in, I sat down, and I found the conversation interesting. I'd only been around that space or seen it on TV, so I'd never seen what it was actually like of people working together to be able to accomplish something. And so I found the conversations that they were having around creativity to be awesome. And so it was the same thing with Biagio and some of his colleagues that were there at LSU doing research in the data science field. The conversations were interesting. They were different from other spaces that I had seen. And I think that for students, that would be my hope for students and for early stage professionals is to go around to local businesses, people that are who are more than willing to have a conversation and share about what they're up to, what they're creating, the organization that they're with, and just be a fly on the wall, see what happens. So
yeah.
What for you, looking back of your story, did you have an experience like that where you were able to learn about your field and be able to ask more questions and therefore take the next step?
Well, when I arrived in Iowa for my PhD program, I was very confused what was going on, coming from a different country, entirely different academic system. But there was this one weekly meeting that was always Friday at noon, very inconvenient time. And it was, they forced all PhD students to go. We later found out that we weren't required to go. It was just one of the professors that was telling us we were, and we never checked. And he organized a group with, he was senior professor, so tenure track professors were kind of afraid of him too. He forced them to go too. And basically forced everyone to present 1 week, and they had to say what their research was. And everyone was equal. I was a first year confused PhD student, and there were professors there. Everyone was equal. You could ask any question. You could criticize anyone. And that made me fall in love with data analytics and data science, because we sat there, people would bring data sets that they had no clue what value they had, and they would people will tell them they were doing what right, what they were doing was right, and what they were doing was wrong. And it was just, I found myself looking forward to that meeting, and I think most of my presentation skills also came from that meeting, and also teamwork skills came from that meeting, even though it didn't directly contribute to my dissertation. But I would, anytime I was stuck, I would just take it to that meeting and say, this is what I did and this is what happened. And just like you, I agree, it's people. It's people that you surround yourself with, that they satisfy that desire for curiosity and finding answers. I completely agree.
Well, gentlemen, I think, as always, these conversations open up an element of the human experience that I love to reflect on. And Thomas, I really want to thank you for your time. I think your wisdom and your insight is invaluable. So thank you so much for being here today.
Absolutely. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for listening to another episode of The Gateway, brought to you by Northern Illinois University, where your future is our focus. And please, remember to love always the promise of tomorrow today.